Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cos podcast. Right as we got started, Bob said, "I've got shocking takes that are going to shock you." I have a hypocritical comment and criticism at Bob, but let's just begin. Hey Bob, how you doing?
I'm great, Matt. We are about to put our Christmas tree up. I love this moment. It's one of my favorite moments of the year. I love Christmas. I refuse to apologize for it. I will watch Christmas movies on Channel 27. I love Christmas.
That's right. Take that, winter market and all you libs. It's called Christmas. What are you going to do about it?
Do you know what I like about this season most of all? This holiday? Thanksgiving is about food. Easter is about chocolate or religion, depending on your persuasion.
That's right.
But Christmas is about comfort. And what I do best is comfort.
I can clearly see that from the basement that you're in right now that is either comfortable or you're hanging out with Walter White at the end of Breaking Bad when he goes into the cabin in the middle of nowhere.
I love, there's just blankets everywhere. They're all cozy. You don't even own pajamas, I don't think.
No, just boxer shorts and a t-shirt.
From about December 22nd till January 3rd, I will knock it out of my robe.
Do you find you're less productive if you're in pajamas or a robe? And I bring this up because during COVID, I would always, before I did radio, I would still put on clothes and even a belt. It just felt like I was being more productive that way.
I get that. And I would say this, not more productive, but perhaps more professional. Mm-hmm. So I can do lots of stuff as long as that stuff is make chili, fold laundry. That's being productive. But if it's make money, I think I need a belt.
Yeah. Belt, money, robe, chili. I could see
shoes with laces, all of it.
Yeah. So what's your shocking takes?
Well, that's dot, dot, dot. If you want to jump all the way there, we could.
Yes. You know what? Let's change the whole paradigm of podcasts. First, two males talking to each other. Boom. First time. Second, going near the end at the start. Bob, let's have dessert for dinner.
All right. We're going to get to your top five nice wines for gifts. We're going to do the Leafs. We're going to do the Raptors, but dot, dot, dot. Where I throw out a thought in the spirit of Steve Simmons or Larry King, it's just a little self-contained snapshot. And Matt decides what he wants to talk about. You ready for this?
Yep.
Galaxy Quest is on AMC a lot these days. I watched it and it's a more interesting movie than Spaceballs. Stranger Things is better than Star Wars, but not as good as the Chronicle of Narnia books. Dylan Cease signs. Cody Ponce is in at 3 years and 30 mil. True or false? The Jays are a league power. Ottawa beat Montreal last night, 5-2. There were scraps. It was chippy. This is the Eastern rivalry for the next 5 years. And finally, is Anthony Davis about to become the new Paul George?
Okay. Your Stranger Things is horse shit, and you added the Narnia thing. So we're just moving on from that. Real quick, Galaxy Quest, anyone who hasn't seen it, it's a really good movie. Like Galaxy Quest kind of, I think, just got doomed by the marketing. It's a really thoughtful, smart movie.
That you nailed it exactly, because it's not as funny as Spaceballs. But I didn't say it's a better movie or a funnier movie. I said it's a more interesting movie. My daughter is really into anime and manga, and that is totally driven by fan culture. It's all about the kids who participate. It kind of reminds me of heavy metal back in the day, where it is an identity. It's not just a pastime. And Star Wars kids were like that, or Star Trek kids were like that back in the day. This is a movie, Galaxy Quest, is all about fan culture. It's so well conceived that it should have been a masterpiece, and it would have been except for one fact. I did a little bit of research because I was curious about Galaxy Quest. I'm like, God, this movie is really, really good. And do you know who the first director attached to it was?
Spielberg?
No. He was actually hired this guy. One more guess.
It wasn't like Christopher Nolan.
No. Think comedy.
Oh, God. Sorry. Adam McKay.
No, good guess. A little too early for him. It was Harold Ramis.
Oh.
Harold Ramis, who made Groundhog Day. Harold Ramis of SCTV fame.
Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. I think he actually wrote Animal House, too. But they wanted Kevin Kline. He wouldn't do it. They wanted Alec Baldwin. He wouldn't do it to be the commander, to be the lead. They got Tim Allen, and he hated the choice so much that he left the film.
Wow. Okay. It's nothing against Tim Allen. Tim Allen did a great job. It's one of the reasons why I really like the movie. But you get Alec Baldwin throwing that fastball and Harold Ramis, Galaxy Quest. It could have gone up another level. Absolutely.
It could have gone up 10 levels. It could be up there with Groundhog Day because it's so smart and it's so well written. But Tim Allen just isn't Alec Baldwin, and whoever directed it just isn't Harold Ramis.
And that's nothing against either of those individuals. That's fine.
No, they did a great job. Whoever, you know, Tim Allen is shockingly good in this, mm-hmm. but in a weird sort of way, he's playing Tim Allen. He's playing a guy who's over his head because he is in real life. And it kind of comes through. Sigourney Weaver is the glue, and Alan Rickman is so funny.
It's a great movie. One final thought on the dot, dot, dots. Until the Blue Jays have their second baseman figured out, only then will I start going true powerhouse.
Okay, so we'll say false, but with an option for true.
Yeah, exactly. Just Bichette, Tucker, whatever. Just one of those two. Please, 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 please get it done.
One more signing, and they are a true league power. I want to throw out this idea of Anthony Davis becoming the new Paul George. I was thinking about this because Dallas isn't very good this year. Anthony Davis is on the trade block, possibly. Came back and had like 30 points and 13 boards last night.
35 points, 13 rebounds against the Lakers a couple nights ago. They take on Miami. By the way, for a random basketball game, the highest scoring team, Miami and Norm Powell versus Cooper Flagg and Anthony Davis. This is what the Mavericks were hoping they would look like. They've won two in a row. I've been up early this morning looking at NBA stuff.
So we'll see. It might work out for Dallas now that he's back. But what I thought about Davis is because he's in trade talks, he's always the consolation prize superstar that you're going after a new, young, better, shinier piece, and you have to be able to dangle something really good. So the Luka Doncic deal can't happen unless there's an Anthony Davis. He's the consolation prize. Nobody expected the first rounder would happen, but just on paper. And I thought like that was like Paul George going to the Clippers for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. This was supposed to be the superstar piece, and yet it kind of fell apart. And in both cases, it didn't look so good for the team that traded for Anthony Davis. They wound up giving up on somebody who will wind up being much better.
It's a great analogy. Anthony Davis is sort of the better version of Paul George. And Anthony Davis is going to be involved in all these trade talks because it didn't work out in Dallas, because we don't know if Kyrie's coming back, because there might be a full reset, keep Lively and Gafford and Cooper Flagg, and then trade all the other parts. It's Anthony Davis. If he's healthy, he's great, but that's the biggest if.
And both these guys are banged up a lot, both him and Paul George. When they moved Paul George to Philadelphia, I thought, Daryl Morey, you beautiful bastard, you've done it again. Here's the third piece they needed. And he hasn't been very good, and he hasn't been very present. Funny thing is, when he does play, he's good. Even as an old man, he's still really good. And in his prime, he was terrific. You remember how good he was.
Yep.
But I kind of feel like Anthony Davis is going to be remembered as the piece that got thrown in so the deal could happen.
Just one final thought on the, and I'm thinking of the Clippers for a second. They're tied for the fifth worst record. They cut Chris Paul 3:00 this morning. And their first round pick is going to the 21-1 Oklahoma City Thunder, and it's unprotected.
Matt, I don't know if you've picked up a newspaper lately, but things have been pretty dodgy. Every time I pick up my head, Pete Hegseth is committing war crimes. And oh, look, Somalia is a garbage country with garbage people, according to the president. You just feel speedbagged by the amount of stupid and mean out there. So the fact that the Clippers have fallen apart is kind of keeping me going right now. There seems to be some fairness in the world.
Lawrence Frank is putting out statements. It's great. And as I say to all sports fans, no matter how bad it gets, Oilers just got shut out by a goalie you could have drafted. It could be worse. You could be a Clippers fan.
It's so true. And if any franchise deserves to suffer for what they did to us, the Raptors, and after the Kawhi nonsense and Lawrence Frank basically becoming swim fan for half a year, chasing him around the continent, trying to draft him, the aspiration bullshit with Steve Ballmer and funneling him cap circumvention cash. I don't want to wish ill against a person. It's not my nature. But if I had to.
Okay, two things. One, I wish you had a list of 1,000 people going behind you going, if I was going to wish ill, it would be these people. But also, Bob, you will not do better in the rest of this Zoom shortened podcast than the Lawrence Frank swim fan comparison. Don't think that escaped me. That's the best you're going
to
do.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to cook now, Matt. How about that? We'll get right to it. Because we talked about Christmas right out of the gate. And I was thinking about wine, and I was thinking about how it's a slightly classier version of getting someone a gift card. Because it's kind of anonymous. You go to the liquor store, you buy about 10 bottles, and you think, oh, I'll just give them to whoever's left over from my list. And it's almost like a default gift for people. And it's better than a gift card, but not a lot.
It's true. Bob, it's so true. It's basically, if a gift card... Okay. If a gift card is a 2 out of 10 on emotional resonance, the bottle of wine is a 4.5. You put in a little bit more effort, but it's still kind of a form of money.
There are times when you have to get something for someone that you don't really know that well, and you can't just do the check mark on the list kind of wine purchasing. And the $30 to $50 range is perfect for that because everybody goes and Googles the wine to see what this cost at the LCBO. And if it's between 30 and 50, you go, oh, they put some thought into it, which is not actually true. What they did was put money into it. But since money equals thought, we'll go with it. So Matt, I need your top 5 gifts to give someone when you can't give them a cheap bottle of wine, but you don't want to put any thought into it. Matt Kaws, gift guide, go.
Here we go, Bob. And for fair and balanced politically, I'll rip the left. This is a true elbows up, not the bullshit that Mark Carney did, because my list, all local and all 5 different grapes. Let's start from white and work our way to red. Henria Pelham, they've got a sparkling called Cuvée Catherine 2017 Blanc de Blanc. Basically, it's 100% Chardonnay sparkling wine. It is $49. That's the most expensive wine. They make incredible sparkling wine at Henria Pelham. Now let's go on to the white wine. Thomas Batchelder, Bachelder. Find any of his single vineyard Chardonnays. They'll run you around, you know, around $48 to $50 as well. Next, let's go to Pinot Noir, Kloss and Chase from Prince Edward County, $40, their vineyard Pinot Noir. Next, let's go to Syrah, Cassaba. It's called Terrence Vineyard Syrah 2021, $35, really elegant. I had it a couple nights ago. And finally, Domaine Caylus. It's called Droit, is the name on the bottle, Droite. It's $45. It's like a Cabernet and a Merlot blend. So there's 5 wines, 5 different styles, bunch of different grapes, all local, all for under $50.
All right. And when they wind up under someone's tree, it's going to say, I love you in a way.
I love you, you know, question mark. I
love you. We've been shortchanging the Raps the last 2 or 3 weeks. They've been doing great. And as is so often the case, talk to any school teacher, you wind up fixing the problems rather than saluting the good. So we've been talking a lot about the Leafs and not about the Raptors. I got some questions for you. Last night, 121-118 over Portland, Scotty with a big block at the end, Brandon Ingram with a big basket at the end. They lose 2, and then they get back on the winning track. And it was a very, you know, there's not a great opponent, but I think it was a win that we were all happy to see. I got some questions for you. But before I do that, what is your top line impression of this team this far into the season? If you had to tell someone who didn't know basketball and they said, what can I expect from the Raptors? What would you tell them?
That Brandon Ingram's offense has unlocked the best version of Scotty Barnes, where Scotty Barnes is going to probably be a first team all NBA defensive player. He's going to be, I think, a second or third team all-star. That would be, if I was going to do it in a quick summary, it would be that.
I think I would go myself with, they're very professional. They play hard. They pass the ball. They have a good attitude. They don't phone quarters in. The other night, they looked pretty tired, but I think that was the second half of a back-to-back after winning all those games in a row. It's pretty natural to have a letdown. They win close games, and they beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. I don't know how good they are, but I know how bad they're not.
That makes sense. I get that. First off, Portland is a sneaky good team. Portland, I believe they're the only team that's beaten the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've played them close. They've beaten Denver. They've beaten the Lakers. So I think they're a little bit of a better team. But you're right, they are professional. Beyond the second, the fourth quarter, really the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter against Charlotte on Saturday, they've rarely had that real stink bomb of a quarter of basketball. They've been very professional. I would agree with that.
That Knicks game in the second quarter, you saw something, which was, we're not going to phone this in. Now, in the end, they ran out of steam. They weren't big enough to deal with the Knicks front court. Not having Poeltl just killed them in that game. Not having RJ kill them in that game. But when they went down, I think it was like 24 points in the first quarter, they fought it back at halftime to, I think it was 7. They were not going to phone that game in. I remembered thinking, this team's going to be fun to watch all year. They're just not going to let themselves suck.
Here's the best way I can put it. Going to a sporting event, as we've discussed, is very expensive. So let's say you're going to go to one game. The risk is, what if I go to a clunker? What if I go to the game where the team gets blown out? Well, that's $400 or $500 wasted. I think with the Raptors, you can feel good that the odds are, we're not going to say you're going to win, but the odds are I probably will win, but you're going to be entertained and you're not going to feel like a sucker because the team just totally blew it.
They're very professional. They put their hearts into it. The Leafs are kind of pulling out of it, but for a stretch of about 10 to 12 games there, it was the classic Bart Simpson. I can't promise to try, but I'll try to try. Okay, I got some questions for you. And this is the big one for me, because they've been good so far, the Raptors. They've beaten a lot of mediocre teams, but they're beating the teams that they should beat. So you can't blame them for their schedule. But how much better can this team actually get?
It's a good question, because I get the skepticism, the nervousness that they are peaking, and their peak is a mid-level team. Can they get better than what we've seen? I think they can get better on the edges. Grady Dick had a nice game last night. Colin Murray Boyles has shown moments. I don't really know. You know what, Bob? I think this is a question for a week from now, because they play a pissed off Lakers team tomorrow night. They've got Boston again. Boston's played well. They've got the Knicks for the NBA Cup team game on Tuesday. I think after next Tuesday, we'll have an idea. In fact, I want the Raptors to play the top teams, because I think we'll get a better sense of what is, because really what you're asking is, what's the ceiling of the team? Because it's been a nice story. It feels like they're a good, solid, middle-class family. The question is, can someone get a promotion and suddenly you got a villa in Italy?
They're the Griswolds.
Yeah.
They're just a nice, middle-class family. Mom, dad, two kids, dog, vacations.
Okay, so can they go from the Griswolds to the Home Alone family? Because it doesn't get discussed. That was a rich family.
Oh my God, they're so rich. Joe Pesci shows up as the cop, and everyone's running around. They barely look at him. The pizza guy shows up, and they basically just like throw a wad of bills at him.
Yeah.
They'll take this and see if this doesn't cover it.
The attic can sleep several comfortably.
It's like your boathouse. Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Scotty is about as good as Scotty can be. I think right now, I think this is probably the best version of Scotty. If he gets better, it'll be shades. It'll be degrees. But I think we've unlocked his game. And I think your point about Brandon Ingram's a really good one. I don't see him getting a ton better either. These guys are pretty much playing like really good versions of who you hope they'll be, which means your two best players don't have much more ceiling to cover. It's not like we don't know how good they are and their growth. Like Tyrese Maxey was really good, and then all of a sudden he was a superstar. I don't think Tyrese Maxey is getting much better than this, but VJ Edgecombe might.
Yeah, it's about what's the unrealized potential. And by the way, Scotty Barnes, I think sometimes we're afraid to admit it. That's what a star looks like. because of how good he is defensively. Because every night he's going to the rebounds, the assists, the steals, the blocks. The problem is our brains are wired to look at 25 points per game and higher and go, that equals star.
The point has been made in hockey that as great as the Rocket Richard trophy is for the most goals, the Selke is more valuable to your team because if you can play a two-way game, generally the Selke winner doesn't suck on offense. They're usually good on offense and really, really good on defense. In a team game where you have to play both ends of the rink or both ends of the court, that's the most valuable thing because you're never a deficit. This is the thing about Brandon Ingram is, you know, he's never going to be a great defender. Scotty, like, we tend to look at this, your point's so good. We look at this almost like football, where we think of them on offense as something and then defense just doesn't count. Like, they have to play. That was a stupid analogy, but I thought it would work out better than it did. He's so proficient at all phases of the game and elite at defense that it just really, like, we talked about this before. Like, he's just, like, his floor is so high that it just raises everything and makes him a superstar.
The problem is there's no statistic for forced bad shot or guy wanted to shoot, but is so annoyed he's going to pass to someone else because he's just tired of getting guarded by Scotty Barnes.
That's a great point. You know, I remember Eric Kareen was making the point that all NBA might be hard for Scotty because his stats on offense don't look way higher than they did before, but he's facilitating so much. If there was a thing that said like if there was a hockey assist, you know, in basketball, Scotty's numbers would be way up. If to your point, if there was a, I don't want to deal with this stat on defense, Scotty would be way up there. But going back to how good they can be, you know, I don't think we're going to see much better from RJ. Emmanuel Quickly is better than I thought he was going to be. I feel like this is a bit like found money. And if you think about their young guys, Shed, I think, you know, he's got some Fred Jr. in him. He might grow into a really, really good player. We'll see. CMB is exciting. I think he might have some Draymond Jr. in him. That's about it, though.
Grady Dick as well.
I'm not a Grady Dick believer. I'm not a...
That's fair.
I think he should be trade bait to get somebody.
And listen, that's fine. I mean, he's played well in the last game or so. He was 16 minutes per game, which I actually took more of. The team is just more talented. So someone's getting fewer minutes and it was Grady.
Okay, here's a question for you. You've got $100 and it's Christmas and you want to get yourself a gift because we should all buy ourselves at least one gift. Which Raptors jersey do you buy?
It's Scotty. I want to give you the hipster answer, say Jakob Poeltl, you know, look at the difference, you know, look how the difference he makes in terms of winning. But in the end, it's Scotty Barnes. They've signed him to the max extension. I think only Vlad has a longer current deal than anyone in the city of Toronto.
Funny,
oh, Nylander as well.
I'd get Guerrero on the back of mine because I feel like Vladdy unlocked sports in this city again. And it's amazing to see how many times we talk about the Raptors and their good vibes and the Jays come up. I think really, I'm being facetious a little bit, but kind of not. They're not a team, the Raptors, where there's one player that really jumps out. Scotty's the obvious one, but he's not Jordan.
No.
You know, it's not like LeBron. He's not that kind of phenom, and he's not that kind of attention-soaking presence. It's kind of like a team-minded guy who really just plays excellent basketball.
You know who Scotty is? You know who Scotty is? Sorry to interrupt. Just to go back to an earlier conversation, he's Sigourney Weaver. He's Sigourney Weaver of Galaxy Quest.
That's so funny, yeah, because Sigourney Weaver can be the lead, or she can just support and play great, great supporting roles. You know, I was thinking Scotty is a bit like, as we were talking about this, a bit like Robert Duvall, where he can be the lead, but in support of everyone, everything gets better, and he's never in anything shit.
To our younger listeners, sorry, Google.
You know what? You have younger listeners on radio, but this pod,
yeah,
I have my doubts. Okay, last question for the Raptors. You ready?
Yeah.
So we talked about how their ceiling is unclear, but there doesn't seem to be like a ton that they haven't unveiled yet. A lot of trade talk around Giannis. Would you do it?
As long as Scotty Barnes is not included, yes.
Could you do it without Scotty Barnes?
Listen, I would not but I understand the argument. You get Giannis, you get one of those guys. It's just you get one of those guys at that age. And maybe I'm being risk averse here. I would not do that deal. I think that, like, and people go, what about the Kawhi for DeRozan? I'm like, yeah, but Scotty Barnes, I think, is a better player than DeMar DeRozan. I don't do that one. I would do Giannis, but it's such a weasel answer, Bob. I would do Giannis, but you got to keep Scotty Barnes. So that's a lame answer by me because it has to be Barnes. Milwaukee's not doing that without it.
Yeah, I think it's a year too late on that deal. And I know that sounds like nitpicking to get somebody who's probably going to be one of the 25 best players in history. You know, Scotty has got a lot of runway ahead of him. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but it wouldn't be a one-for-one deal either, though, right? Because you're also gunning, like, you're probably throwing in Colin Murray-Boyles. You know, you're probably throwing in
a draft pick or two. Milwaukee's going to want a draft pick or two. So
it's just going to be a haul. I mean, yeah, it's probably not worth it. Hey, we probably don't have a ton of time left, and I wanted to throw some Leafs in six words at you.
All right, we have 7 minutes, Bob. Give me those six words.
Okay, big win last night. They beat Florida in the playoff rematch, and I think everybody exhaled because not only did they beat Florida, but I thought they looked pretty good beating them.
They did.
So here's my thing. You ready? Six words. Better effort, better result, better continue.
Ooh, that's good. That is a good one. Yes, it better. You know why it better continue? A December 1st or 2nd game in an 82-game season is not a big game. It's one out of 82, and it's at the beginning of December. But when you lose most of your early games, you make the medium games big games, because if you lose the middle games, the end games don't matter. So that was a big game. And you're right. It better continue Thursday against Carolina.
The weirdness is that you look at the point totals and they're just a couple points out of a playoff spot. Like literally.
I know.
Literally, a couple of points. They're also second last in the conference. The logjam is stupid. It is just stupid. They've homogenized without, you know, do you want to rant with me a little bit on the 3-point win, the ties, the overtime situation, all that nonsense?
We have no idea who's good. We have no idea.
There's about literally seven teams that are almost indistinguishable from each other point-wise.
It's helping the Maple Leafs because you just go, oh, look, they're only four games out. They're 6 points out of first. I'm like, great. There's seven teams in front of them. You know, no one has any idea.
When I hear things like they're 10-10-3, they're 500. No, they lost an OT. They are three games under 500, but somehow they got 3 points for those losses. There clearly needs to be some kind of tiered system if you're going to have 30% of the games go to overtime, which is pretty much the stat this year. Three out of every 10 games is going to overtime. So you're just going to have this stupid, indistinguishable logjam. Three for a regulation win, two if you win an OT, and 1 point if you win, 1 point if you lose. Or, yeah, I got that right. Yeah.
I dropped math after grade 10. So
I know I confused the shit out of myself.
Yeah. How about we agree on this? The current point system has put us in this quagmire that makes it's less fun as a sports fan because we like to look at the standings and go, you're good, you're bad. Now we're like, you're all kind of the same except for Carolina and Tampa.
The idea was to keep games in March interesting. But that's not really how sports fans and the human brain works. We don't love parity. We're giving up the idea of excellence so that we can have five or six sort of meaningful games at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I prefer excellence to mandated mediocrity. I mean, I'm, you know, coming from a New Democrat, that's a surprising thing to say.
But right
now, like Philadelphia, Detroit played Boston last night. Are they exactly the same team? I don't know. Montreal played Ottawa. Ottawa won. Now all of a sudden they're second in the conference. Montreal dropped out of a playoff spot because they're the third of three teams that have 31 points.
The Sabres are a three-game winning streak away from being like, you know, being close in the playoffs.
An unstoppable juggernaut.
Yeah. Yeah. It's It's ridiculous. By the way, off topic for half a second.
More off topic than this?
Yeah, God, we shouldn't do off topic. I'm an idiot. We got 4 minutes left. Okay.
How good is it?
What's that?
How good is the off topic?
If Brady Tkachuk was Canadian, how popular would he be in this country?
So popular, because he would have punched out an American at the beginning of the final game of the Four Nations Cup.
He looked great last night.
Honestly, he adds so much to Ottawa. He adds so much to the league. I hate him so much. As much as I've hated Brad Marchand over the years, unfortunately, because he did so good for Canada, and even just like through time, like I've just come to go, okay, you're a dick. I kind of love you though. I mean, Jesus, he's on a point of game pace. He's got like 15 goals. Like, he's the best player in Florida right now. He's chirping Toronto. He's making everybody crazy. He's gone from pest to fun.
But counter, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you're ready. Next to Kevin Durant, there are just few people you're not ready to forgive.
Christ,
who else do you hate? Sidebar here. You hate Durant. You hate
Harden.
Harden.
Yeah, James Harden, a lot of the weasel guys that just want out of town. How about Lane Kiffin, who's now we have no time for that. Lane Kiffin, the coach who weaseled his way out of Ole Miss, is now at LSU.
So funny. That's such a sleazy industry. I have another one, Leaf. Connor McDavid will be a Leaf.
When you see how bad Edmonton is and how bad their goaltending is, that's what we said at the beginning of the year. Oilers, this is an audition. Stuart Skinner and Oilers management, your job is to convince McDavid to sign another extension. They're getting blown out by the top three teams in the West. They just got shut out last night by Minnesota. McDavid, his time in Edmonton is feeling precarious.
You know, the Leafs were really good last night, but Austin Matthews wasn't necessarily one of them. Thought Matthew Nyes played a really good, hard, physical, heavy game. The third line was terrific. Stetcher, you know, who knew? But he's getting tons of time on ice, and he was up with the first pair for a while. Like, you know, they just looked like a better skating team out there. But Austin Matthews did just not look like a $13 million player, and I don't know if he ever is going to again. And so, as much as we talk about this window, you know, things can fly out of the window, but things can also fly in of the same open window. And it may be that Connor McDavid is going to fly in just as Austin Matthews is flying out. And they're going to see each other on the way. They're going to high five. It's going to be, remember the sheepdog and the wolf in the cartoons? Morning, Frank. Morning, Ralph.
As they're punching the clock.
Punching in.
Warner
Brothers. One to guard the sheep and the other to eat them.
Yep. Bob, are you ready for me to land the plane with less than a minute to go?
Always ready.
Bob, you said you were a new Democrat. I'm looking at your white beard. You look like an old Democrat. Boom.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.